Okay. All right. Welcome, everybody, to Monday night's call. We got a lot of things to talk about or share. There's a lot of activities going on in here in New York. First and foremost, I want to first talk about where we are with our website. And by the way, am I coming through? Give me some ones if everything's coming through clear. If there are any problems with my coming through, maybe people will just blink their hands up and down. Okay, it looks good. I'm coming through, and or throw some fours or nines out there, and I'll know that I have a problem with my volume or something. But anyway, we are starting to really start to grow. Growth is happening pretty rapidly, but not too rapidly. And it's good that we don't want to grow too quick anyway, because growing slow really is a stronger and much more healthier thing. We do get some peaks of a couple of thousand people from time to time will come in within a day, and then we'll fall back down, you know, maybe somewhere between 500 or 800 a day. We get a lot of page views, and so we're really moving up there in the ranking very quickly, and but again, not too fast. But we know we're going to start to have a problem when we start to get people coming in, because we're hitting the news. We are planning to go on a program. I've been invited onto a program, and it's for the Power Hour with Joyce Riley, and I'll have to give her a call tomorrow and work out some kind of a date. I'll probably set it for next week sometime. Only reason is because I know that that's going to be a big pump for us. We're going to get a lot of people responding from that particular call because they've got a very large audience. And we're not ready for too big of a peak. And hopefully before the week is out, we'll be able to prevent ourselves from, you know, sort of falling apart if too many people come and click on our website at the same time. We're in the process of trying to rebuild the website. We did get a little funding. We haven't got it in hand yet, but it's coming. And as soon as that comes in, we'll be able to pay that bill and get that done. But it is getting expensive, and it's going to cost more money. And so I want to share that with everyone. And we got to find a way to pay the bills. It's that simple. I mean, up until now, it's been a little bit of a, well, it's been a burden, but it hasn't been hugely expensive. But now, you know, to build a website and get it done professionally and have the people to help set up the framework for that, you know, we'll be able to do a lot of the work ourselves. As far as putting content up on the website. But we have to have the framework set up, and we have to have a lot of different programming done with it. We're going to have a national chat room that'll be active 24/7, and we're going to have message boards and we'll have certain individuals who would be doing blogging on our site concerning the stories and what's going on in the judicial and political realms, without the politics, though. No politics will be involved in this. So we got a lot of plans, a lot of things, and the site is going to really be very powerful and interactive. People will be able to leave comments and so on. Each state will have its own message board. We're going to set that up. We're also going to set up a calendar, whereas we'll be able to leave the meetup group and have our calendar right on that one site, which again will be the nationallibertyalliance.org. Now, all of this costs money, and there's just no getting away from it. And, you know, even if we get, sometimes we get some, well, it's rare, but we do have someone's going to give us a little chunk, so it's enough to kind of get us going. But we're going to need to support this. And, you know, the access to the Internet is going to be, you know, quite quickly $1,500 a month, easily, without a blink of an eye. And as our, you know, traffic starts to build up and broadband gets to be used, and we're very heavily set in audio and in video on our website, you know, that's going to escalate $2,000, $3,000 a month. I have no idea where the limit's going to be. But obviously, if you have 100,000 people coming on and hitting your site, or 200 or 300 or more, it's going to start to cost some money. You know, when you have under a couple of thousand, it's not so bad, you know. But once you hit those levels, we have problems with money. Also, we need, you know, tech availability for major problems where we'd be able to pay, you know, for any problems that might come up on our site and needs to be repaired. And there's other costs, you know, just to create the site on the long run is going to probably run about 30 grand. In the beginning, right now, we'll probably have to pump in maybe about 10 grand to get it started and off the ground. But by the time we're said and done with what we're planning to do, providing we get the funds, it'll be about 30 grand. Now, we do have a little bit of money now that we're going to be able to at least get things going, but we're really going to need help. And I'm going to put two possibilities out there and see once what people think. When we open up the new site, by the way, there are people that have that are giving us money, and they're giving us 10 bucks a month or 20 bucks a month. They put themselves on an automatic payment on that. I know I was doing that with a program we were involved with. Goodness, I forget the name of it. Gerard, if you could throw it out in the text chat, because Gerard was doing it too. These people, they share information and on going into the courts. They're not lawyers. Well, they're not attorneys, let's put it that way. They didn't go to bar school, but they're going in pro se. Some of them call themselves lawyers or common law lawyers. And they're fighting in the courts, and they give a lot of insight and discussions there on, how they do what they do. Your remedy is the law. That's the name of it, yeah. And that's been pretty good to us. And they have a membership program which gets you into their archives, and then when you get into the archives, you have access to all their past recordings. And they charge you 10 bucks a month, and I think that's reasonable. I'm thinking of setting it up, and I'm caught between how to do this. I'd like to just ask people to do it, and they do it, you know, if they can afford it. And most people can afford 10 bucks a month. But maybe we'll set something up for 5 bucks a month for someone that's really strapped. Some people might be able to do 20 bucks a month. But whatever it is you could do, if we all do 10 bucks a month, we would be doing very well, and we would have plenty of money to do everything we need to do with the website, to maintenance it, keep it up, and continue to pay for the broadband. Obviously, as we grow with more numbers, our income would grow, and we'd be able to support the impact of all those people coming to our website. Now, I'm thinking of setting it up whereas people come online, and when they sign in, there'll be a good deal of the site people will be able to see without signing up. And so they'll get a lot of information, and they'll get a great understanding of what we're doing and so on and so forth. But then there'll be other information that's behind the scenes that unless you become a member, and becoming a member means you're signing up to become a jurist. So once you sign up to become a jurist, we're going to have maybe about, we're going to have numerous places or categories that will be only available to the people who sign in as jurists. And I think that's where we'll set up where the people will see who the their county or state leaders would be. But we'll figure all these things out as we go along on how we're going to do that. Someone who might come to the site and didn't join, they'd be able to maybe read comments that other people might make, but they wouldn't be able to leave a comment. Or they might be able to go into our chat room, our text chat room, they'd be able to read everything, but they wouldn't be able to participate. Only people who actually register will be able to participate in those things. Now, what I think we're going to do is we're going to put in a place where people, as they sign up, can donate. And we'll set it up for $5, $10, and $20, and people will sign up for whatever they can sign up for. But if someone doesn't check that, their name would register, but they wouldn't be given access right away. I would get an email, or someone from support would get an email, and we'd call that person up. And if the person just is that strapped and they can't afford it, well, we're going to let them in. We don't want to keep anyone out, obviously. Maybe we'll just let it go through and hope that people will just do it. You know, we'll ask them to do it and not require it. Maybe we'll do it that way. Anyway, I'd like to get some feedback on that, but I don't want to do that now. At the end of what we're going to talk about, when we open the mics up, we'll talk about that and what people think about how we can raise money and get money and maintain these costs. Obviously, we cannot do what we're doing without a website. And again, $5, $10, $20 bucks a month, you know, is not a lot to ask for. $5 a month, if you can't afford more than that, that's fine, you know, or $10 a month. But let me move on, and we're going to talk about that shortly. Quickly, just to cover what's going on in New York, we did a quo ando, and we did get a response back from the clerk. We did put that response up online so people can read that. We also got a response from one judge out of the two, and they sent their bond, which was kind of surprised. So we got the information on the bond for one judge. But nevertheless, they ultimately failed to answer. They try to push us to their lawyer, which we will not talk to their lawyer. We let them know that. We'll let them know one more time. So we're not talking to their lawyers. They have not responded properly. What we're going to do now is we're going to send a small team up to the county where we filed the presentation for a true bill of indictment. And we're going to make sure we're going to send two individuals. One of the individuals we're hoping to send is a private investigator, so it'd be good to send that person because he'd know how to talk to these people. And he's also a notary. And so we're going to send two notaries. There's something in common law about sending two notaries and making a sworn statement concerning the process of what's going on. And really what we're interested in doing is going up to see the clerk and ask the clerk for a copy of the papers on file concerning the indictment. And if they're not on file, why it isn't on file. If they have it on file and it doesn't have a timestamp, they're going to want to know why there's no timestamp. Why is things not moving along? So we're going to have that done personally by at least two people, and then they're going to make affidavits. And again, both of them will be notaries, and maybe we'll have more than two go, but at least two will be notaries. And then we will know exactly what they're doing or not doing and why they're doing it. If they refuse to answer, then that will be noted, so noted, and will be reported. Those people will identify themselves as representing the common law grand jury being sent up here to investigate what's going on. They'll identify themselves as administrators or even private investigated, engaged by the grand jury to investigate what's going on and to document it because both of those people are notaries. Then after that, I don't want to say what our plan is next. I'm checking on my other computer. Okay. Let me tell people again, go down on your bottom left side, click on speaker, bring your speaker level up to 2/3, click on microphone, bring your level up to 2/3, and if I'm still too low or too loud, make that adjustment from your computer itself on your right side down by your clock. Use the volume on your computer to adjust the volume at that point. If we're all at the 2/3 level, we should be good. And I'm coming in good for everybody. Gerard, raise your levels up on your end. It can't be me because everyone else is saying I'm good, or most people are anyway. So if I'm low on someone, I just checked my other computer, which is recording, and it seems to be coming in fine on that one too. So, okay. So anyway, we do have another thing we're going to do. I was going to talk about it tonight. I told some people I was going to talk about it tonight. But I also come to realize we can't do that other thing until we send the small group of people up to investigate where the process is with our indictment. Where are we along that conveyor belt of time, so to speak? And we know that they're just stalling it. It may not be necessarily be in the files. We just got to find out what's going on. And then at the end of the week, which I'm going to put word out probably tomorrow night, to New York. Everybody in New York will be invited to come in to sit in, and we're going to have we're calling together a grand jury to discuss the situation and to see once what we're going to do. The next step is another indictment and on the two judges and the clerk. Now, this clerk is the chief clerk who does have a law background. Usually they have some kind of a schooling in law. Maybe they're a paralegal or something like that. But they have to have a basic understanding of some things and be able to read these papers and understand them. So we're going to have to go after that person. We're trying to be kind to them. We're trying to let them know what the law is, and they're listening to the people who are trying to prevent us from coming in to indict them. They're listening to those judges, and we're trying to make it clear. So there is one more process. Once we decide, okay, let's go indict them after a final warning, and there is a process that I don't want to talk about right now. Once we execute that process, we will post it up online, and we probably will do that before next Monday. And next Monday, we will reveal the process, what that process does, and why we executed that particular process at this time. There are other tools that we can, other things we can do, and other tools we have at our hands to be able to deal with in the future as we continue to move on. So we're not out of things to do, and we are definitely doing things that nobody has ever done before. Let me say that again. Nobody has ever done this before. I know there's been grand juries that have come in and they've become frustrated because they try this or they try that, and then they don't know what to do next. Well, again, we've been talking about this for a long time. If you don't understand the judicial procedure and processes, then of course you don't know what to do, and of course you're going to get frustrated. And they're going to sit back there and say, and they're going to laugh at you and say, "Hey, these guys don't know what they're doing, so we're not going to worry about them." And they don't, because you can't indict them. But we believe that we know exactly what needs to be done. We have a lot of different tools and resources with, and we'll reveal them as we go. We won't reveal them before we do it, only after we do it, because obviously it doesn't make sense to allow the enemy to know what we're doing. So we're not going to do it. They, at this point, realize that we got a lot of this figured out, and they don't know how much more we got figured out. But believe me, I can assure you, these people are worried. These judges are worried. This clerk is worried. And these two new judges are worried. Trust me on that. I can read the tea leaves. I see how they respond or their lack of response. I've seen what they've done. The fact that a judge responded with his bond, he's trying to make a claim, "Well, I'm responding, you know." Well, that's not good enough, and we're going to let him know in our next communique with a particular procedure or process that we're going to execute that with. Also, sending that team up there is going to really upset them a little bit. You know, it's going to make them quite concerned. Intimidate them, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. Okay, so let me move from there. Next week, I'm going to have a lot of big news on this. This week, I can't reveal too much. So just that we're sending a small group of people in order to really gather information. Okay. Last item, and then we're going to open the mics up, and we'll talk first about how we're going to raise money to keep our website up. And like I says, you know, look, if everybody throws $5, it's probably enough. $5 a month should do it. $10 a month definitely will do it. But we'll talk about that shortly. Okay, what I wanted to do, I've noticed that these people are saying the same thing over and over again. Those people who are claiming that we don't have the authority. That were a rogue group of people off on out of left field, and from what I've seen in the newspapers that have reported, or when they put the negative stuff in, and we've been getting some good reporting, they've been telling our side of the story accurately, and then they tell the other side of the story accurately. So they print both sides, and that's what a newspaper should do. I'm good with that. Now, one of the problems is when a professor comes in, and they're a professor at law, and he says we don't have no authority whatsoever, and common law is this, that, or the other thing, and then we, nobodies, we're just the people, it's all we are, we come in and say, "Oh, no, we can, and we do." But they come in with nothing to back up what they're saying. We come in with tons of stuff. Unfortunately, the newspaper doesn't report the details in that way. So I wrote a paper. And it's really it's called Feeble Arguments from the Status Quo, because all of their arguments are quite feeble, and they have nothing to rest on. So I just want to go through this quickly. And by the way, this is posted up on nationallibertyalliance.org. It is posted on, oh goodness, let me take a quick look. It's posted on Breaking News. So on the top left side, on the left side column towards the top, you'll see a world turning. It says Breaking News. And if you click on that, this paper that I'm going to go through is up there right now. Now, the first page I'm going to skip, and I might read this, but let me see how long it takes me to get through the other couple of pages. I've got 4 pages, but they're not full. You know, they've got a lot of line spaces because it's taken one issue at a time. But I might go into the and read the first page, which is Common Law versus Civil Law, by a guy named Brent Williams. This is kind of a brief history of common law and civil law and the battle between the mind of man and the mind of God that has taken place, particularly over the last, 800 years or so. And of course, here in America, we are at the pinnacle of that argument, and either we're going to win or lose very soon, and we have an opportunity to go back to 1789, resetting this whole country back up and starting us afresh at our judicial process, which will clean the whole country right up. Anybody who understands the principles we're talking about, remember, the key is the duty of the grand jury is to repair all wrongdoing, correct all wrongdoing. So any wrongdoing out there, we have to fix it. We have to give them a prescription on how the people who are violating this can fix this within government or, you know, whether it's political or the judicial realms. And they either obey or we indict, and we indict, they're removed from office. If they're a hired help, they're removed from their job. And then they have to go through the process through the indictment. But I think people will really just do the right thing at that point because they don't want to lose their job. Once you put people's flesh on the line, all of a sudden they start to behave. Then you have a government that fears the people, and then you have a government that is truly doing the job because they fear the people. And you have liberty. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. That's a Jefferson quote. So anyway, here's some of their feeble arguments. And if everyone would pay attention, if there's any other argument that I have that you're aware of that they're making and we haven't addressed, we need to get what that argument is, what it is that they're claiming, so that we can rebut it and put it in this form. Because if we hand this to the news media along with whatever else is up there, you know, for the press releases, we totally neutralize every argument that they make, and at least the news people can now report the rebuttal, and that'll give us a leg up on this. Okay, here's the status quo position. These are actual positions that were written in newspapers that we've pulled out. No legal authority. This is a rogue band of citizens with no legal authority, said Wes Oliver, associate press professor and director of the criminal justice program at the Queensland University School of Law. To what extent they're a common law grand jury system that was self-creating, there no longer is. Now, to the individual who's reading this, boy, he's a law professor. And he's a director of the criminal justice. This guy must know what he's talking about, okay? But, of course, we know they don't because they're bar-trained, and bar-trained is communist-trained. They're liars, and they're here to destroy the American way. And so they are true believers of this. But here's our rebuttal. In the Supreme Court case of United States versus Williams, and we give the numbers, Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, confirmed that the American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, nor legislative branch of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is, in effect, the fourth branch of government, governed and administrated to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. So if you want to get rid of grand juries, you got to get rid of the Bill of Rights because it's the Fifth Amendment that gives us that authority. And that, of course, is a problem. And the Supreme Court's refer to it as common law. So either we have common law or we don't. If we don't have common law, then you have no Bill of Rights. We have no Constitution. Therefore, we have no contract. And the Declaration of Independence is irrelevant. That's a world without common law. With common law, Those are the three documents, the American documents that set the focus of what common law is in our nation. Justice Anton Scalia went on to say, the grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has been textually assigned, therefore, to any. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right, Professor. Any day. We went on to say other quotes, all laws, rules, and practices which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. That's Mayberry versus Madison. There can be no limitation on the power of the people of the United States of America by their authority. The state constitutions were made, and by their authority, the Constitution for the United States of America was established. And that's in a Supreme Court ruling, Hustein versus Lithem. The United States Supreme Court declares that the sovereignty remains with the people and resides with the people. That's Yick Wu versus Hopkins and Wu Lee Hopkins. No action can be taken against the sovereign in the non-constitutional courts of either the United States or the state courts, and any such action is considered the crime of barratry. Barratry is an offense at common law. State versus Batson. And anybody who's in the courts right now really needs to take note of that particular ruling, because you can use it in almost every case we battle. And remember, what they're saying here is that any court that is non-constitutional, and I haven't found a court that is constitutional yet, we available to us and for us. It's our court, and yet they refuse to move over there. This is a powerful case, and you should consider using this in your cases. Now, barratry in criminal law is a common mover or exciter or maintainer of suits and quarrels, either in the courts or elsewhere in the country. A disturber of the peace who spreads false rumors and calamities, whereby discord and disquiet may grow among neighbors. Okay, so these are people who are liars. That's what barratry really is. They spread false rumors and create calamities in order to, confuse everybody. And that's what's going on in our courts. Another item that is brought up often, again, we found in newspapers, common law people are not capable of making such decisions. Now, they offer no supporting authorities. And by the way, the other individual, that professor, he offered no supporting authority. He came on as the authority. But he didn't offer any authorities, okay? Same thing here. Common people are not capable of making such decisions. You're not capable of going and deciding the things in law. You're not capable of deciding whether someone is innocent or guilty. You need that judge to help you by. You need that prosecutor to help you by and help you figure this out and tell you what to do and what the law is. That's what they're telling us, that we're dumb, we're stupid, we're ignorant. And to some degree, they're right. But they're dumber than us, and we are catching up because we're boning up. We're learning the law. We're learning the process. We're learning what common law is, and we are capable of making these decisions. But anyway, here's some answers. Whenever the people are well informed, they can be trusted with their own government. Thomas Jefferson. The Constitution of most of our states assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves in all cases to which they think themselves competent. And I think myself to be competent here. And I'm sure everybody in this room does too. Thomas Jefferson. Trust in the jury is, after all, one of the cornerstones of our entire criminal jurisprudence. And if that trust is without foundation, we must re-examine a great deal more than just the nullification doctrine. And that was a guy, Judge David L. Branzelon. I think that was written in the mid-1800s. Here's another status quo position. Legal experts say that in 1946, the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure was established, doing away with this common law grand jury model. And they offer no supporting authorities. We went and looked up all that information. We looked at the federal laws, and it doesn't say anything what they're saying. It does set forth the rules that they need to operate by when they set up their puppet grand juries, but it doesn't say that we can't do it. So here's our rebuttal. The Court of Appeals rules would neither preserve nor enhance the traditional functioning of the grand jury that the common law of the Fifth Amendment demands. And that was in the United States versus Williams case. They answered that question right there. The power of the grand jury to inquire into a willful misconduct in office of public officers and to find indictments or to direct the filing of information in correction with such inquiry shall never be suspended or impaired by law. And that's the New York State Constitution. It's Article 1, Subsection 6. Now, and I'm sure you could find similar things in your constitutions. Nevertheless, we have the Fifth Amendment, and that trumps all. Status quo, okay? Grand juries must be approved by the courts, they say. Who the hell are these people? That we the people have to go get approval from them, the servant? Are they insane? Here's our rebuttal. The grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside. We think it clear that, as a general matter at least, no such supervisory judicial authority exists. United States versus Williams, 1990. Justice Antonin Scalia said, in fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch or institutional government. It serves as kind of a buffer or a referee between the government and the people. We get to decide the situation, not the government. We get to referee it. We listen to the government, we listen to the people, and we make the decision, not them. Court is in session. When a grand jury, and this is something that's extremely important, we came just to realize this recently, and it's a powerful realization. When a common law grand jury comes into power, when it's called into session, then the court is open. Because we are a tribunal, and we're opening court, and we're calling people before us, and we're listening and discovering what can be done, and we're arbitrating the problem. If we can arbitrate it, we'll create the solution and get it done with. No reason to send it to court. We can make all the penalties and everything necessary there as long as both sides agree for the arbitration. And if one of the sides don't agree, then we send it into the trial court, and they will make a decision whether they like it or not. It's irrelevant. They're going to make the final decision. But the court of record is open. The court of the people, the king's bench is open, and that's the key. You see, the grand jury is the king's bench. They are the tribunal, and they are going to represent the will of the king. That is the will of the people, and they're going to do justice for and on behalf of the people. And that's what we must realize and understand, that that's the power of that court. It is a court more powerful than the United States Supreme Court. And even Justin Scalia, Justice Antonin Scalia, even he said that they don't have the authority to overrule them, providing they don't violate someone else's unalienable rights, and then it could be called in by that person. But other than that, they can't overrule us. We get to do what we believe is right and correct, and the government can do nothing, and no Supreme Court can overrule it. This is extremely important to understand. Of course, we cannot abuse this, and we do teach people, and they're going to sign the paperwork and the statement as they come in to become grand jurors. They're going to agree to this, and that is the principles and the rules by which we operate. And the three principles that we operate is with coming in with a sense of justice, honor, and mercy. And every decision is made with that in mind. And the other thing is there's two maxims that we hold that guide us. And one is, in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. The state cannot be the injured party. No injured party, no crime. Gotta walk. The other thing is for every remedy. When you have an injured party, they have to be reinstated back to their former state. And whatever it takes to do that, even if it takes money to do that, whatever it is, it's got to be done. And that's the job of the grand jury. And if the grand jury cannot accomplish that and get these two parties to agree, then we send them into the trial, and they will hear all the facts of the case, and they will make a decision, and it'll be held up. The judge doesn't get a chance to do anything because he's not a judge, he's a justice. And we're going to return him back to common law. He's just the traffic cop in the court, keeping order going, and that's it. When he can't make any decision. If it comes to a point of a decision, he's got to look over to the tribunal and see what it is that they want to do and reflect their will. And that's common law, and it is clear if you go into the common law, into the law books, you'll find those kind of statements. Okay. Let's see where we're at. Okay, I think we're here. The grand juries must be approved by the courts. We rebutted that. Here's our rebuttal. The grand jury is an institution separate from the courts. Okay, we did that. We already did that one. Next one. Here is the status quo position, another one we've read in newspapers. There is no statute or procedural rule that allows citizens to convene grand juries, and they offer no supporting authorities. Nothing. It's amazing. They offer nothing. It's their word. Who are these people? Who do they think they're the servants? Well, here's our rebuttal. There is no statute or procedural rule that prevents the people from convening grand juries. You know, we have some states that within their constitution lays out the rules or the process by which a grand jury, how it operates. But it doesn't say anywhere in that constitution or anywhere in any statutes, federal or state, anywhere that we have found so far, and whatever we've looked into, we have not found anything yet anywhere that says that we cannot convene grand juries. What it says is it creates rules for if the government to create, to impanel a grand jury. And obviously, if the people aren't doing their job and don't know enough to impanel a grand jury so that the government can call upon them and they need to get a grand jury, they know they need a grand jury to get a conviction and to even get the people into the court, they know that. So since the people aren't stepping up and doing what they're supposed to do, well, the government created rules to do this for them. And therein is the problem. Woe is us. But actually, they've hid that from us. But we have gotten lazy on this. And we're going to take it back, and we need to step up and take control of this country, this nation. Okay, so there is no statute or procedural rule that prevents the people from convening grand juries. Justice Antonin Scalia said the grand jury requires no authorization from its constitutional court to initiate an investigation. That's in the Williams case. The grand jury, functional independent scope of its power to investigate criminal wrongdoing and in the manner by which its powers is exercised. Unlike a court whose jurisdiction is predicated upon a specific case or controversy, the grand jury can investigate merely on suspicion. That's powerful. Just as the suspicion of breaking laws in an agency, and you got the power to just walk in there and do an investigation. On suspicion that the law is being violated, or even because it just wants assurance that it is not. I just want to make sure that you guys are doing it right. So I'm walking into your office, and I'm going to look into your computers, and I'm going to talk to people, and we're going to do an investigation to make sure all is well here in our brick-and-mortar building. This is our government. We're the boss. The boss can open any computer he wants. If you're a boss and you go into an office in some other city or state or whatever, you can walk right. You don't have to knock on the door or ask anyone's permission. You can say, hey, get off that seat. I want to take a look, see what's going on. You can open it, the computer. It's your computer. You own it. Well, with our government, that's our computers. That's our books. Those are our people. They work for us. And through the power of the grand jury as administrators, and remember, this is important. You're not going in there as a grand jurist. You're going in as an administrators of the grand jury in the investigative power and authority by the grand jury to investigate. We can even hire which we won't, but in some cases we will. And there are some technical things we're looking into that we, the people, just aren't technically able to really understand some things, and we'll have to hire technical people to go in and do that. And we have the authority and the power to do it. We have the funding because we'll put in the budget, and we'll have that within our budget. So we will have the monies available to do these things and to pay the salaries of the people that are doing these things. Let's see. And that was in the case of United States versus Enterprises, which, by the way, was also brought up in the Williams case, almost word for word. Status quo. Again, here's another position they hold. Unless common law grand juries are officially acknowledged by the courts, prosecutors offered presentments or individual subpoenas by the self-formed grand juries would not be legally compelled to cooperate, and they offer no supporting authorities. Now, that, in my opinion, is to throw us off, because we wouldn't go to the prosecutor. We didn't hire him to run the courts. He's hired by the court to prosecute. He's hired by the state to bring state cases up before the grand jury, and the grand jury is to look at those cases and either indict or just ignore it. But when we do indict, we don't send it to the prosecutor. We take it right into the court process. We bring it to the court clerk. If we do a presentment, we're not going to take it to the prosecutor. We take it to the court clerk. And the court clerk is bound to execute that particular document and go through that process, that procedure. And nobody can stop that. And by the way, that's where we're at in New York right now. And we are explaining that quite clearly to these people. And that's why they're nervous. So, unless common law grand juries are officially recognized by the courts, okay, our answer to that, prosecutors are not offered presentments. Presentments are filed at the Supreme Court chief clerk, and once filed, cannot be removed. Anyone interfering with an official proceeding commits a crime under U.S. codes. And under these U.S. codes, 2076, they face a year in jail if the court refuses to or neglects to make the report and put it into the file. U.S. Code 18-2071, whoever willfully and lawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, or destroys, or attempts to do so, documents filed or deposited with the clerk or officer of the court shall be fined or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. U.S. Code 1512B, whoever knowingly uses, intimidates, threatens, or corruptly persuades another person to attempt to do so or engage in misleading conduct towards another person with the intent to influence, delay, or prevent an official proceeding, cause or induce any person to withhold a document or other object from an official proceeding, or to destroy or mutilate or conceal an official proceeding, and by the way, this was written particularly for the judge, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. And by the way, if they mail back the paperwork that you filed, just like they did up in Schenectady, New York, I certainly hope they're listening in on this, that person is facing 40 years in jail. Because it's 20 years when you use the United States mail to defraud a person or people, and they're defrauding 19 million people, by the way. That's an easy 20 years with no-brainer. So that's 20 years, 40 years. That clerk up there and that judge up there that authorized that should be really worried about that, because if they're listening in, they are facing 40 years. And they don't know whether we're going to have mercy with them or not. But we'll figure that out as we go. All right, let me finish off. This is the final part of this. I'm not going to do the first page. You know, you can read that yourself up online, the NationalLibertyAlliance.org, on breaking news, and you can click on this rebuttal paper that's available for anyone to download in PDF. It's about 5 pages. But here's the last page. I would like to look at this. And it's just the fox in the hen house. And this is the final response to all of this against their position. If the government can select the jurors, like they do now, it will, of course, select those who it supposes will be favorable to its enactments, like they do now, and an exclusion of any of the free men from eligibility is a selection of those not excluded, like they do now. It will be seen from the statutes cited that the most absolute authority over the jury box, that is, over the right of the people to sit in juries, has been usurped by the government. And that was written by Lysander Spooner in Trial by Jury, page 92, written in 1852. And we entire process, you know, the entire paper on Trial by Jury, both in audio and in PDF form on our website. It's like 15 hours of audio. It's a good listening. It's a good read if you like to read. And everybody that's a jurist should work through that and listen to those tapes one at a time, or however you want to listen, but you definitely should listen. You will be just amazed on all the information that this guy has put in his paperwork and the power and the authorities of the grand juries and what the government will or might or try to do it and what they were doing at that time in certain areas. And that, of course, encouraged this individual to write this paper. So that's Lysander Spooner, Trial by Jury. You will find that up on our website. I believe you'll find that on our jury page. But if you have trouble finding that, that would be on, Juris Documents and Services. That's where you would find that. And I believe. If not, you ask me next Monday if you can't find it by then. search for it. William Penn said, men must be governed by God or they will be ruled by tyrants. And today we are ruled by tyrants. And again, we make that point. The first order of business is to go into your prayer closet, work out your problem with your God. We're not going to tell you how to do that. Anybody has that power. Just go into your prayer closet. Talk to him. Work it out. And get it right with him. And then come stand with the rest of us with justice, honor, and mercy. And God will bless us for that. So if we think we're going to be governed by God without obeying his will, well, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. Fifth Amendment, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on the presentment or indictment of a grand jury. No grand jury, can't go to jail, can't be convicted. People are convicted all day long because they plead. How do you plead, innocent or guilty? Yeah, I plead innocent. Well, now you just consented to being tried without a grand jury's indictment. Don't plead. Don't ever plead. Hold off, fight it, and just don't do it. You can win until we reinstate the grand jury. It is in effect a fourth branch of government governed and administered directly to and by half of the American people. The New York Constitution says, and again you'll find this in a lot of other state constitutions, I use New York because I'm in New York, the jury shall have the right to determine the law and the facts. That's right in our Constitution. It's Article 1, Subsection 8. And in another, in a Supreme Court ruling, we read, as understood at common law and as used in constitutional provisions, jury imports body of 12, and the jury has an unalienable right to judge both the law as well as the facts in contrary. And that was Chief Justice John Jay in 1789, right when this country actually started. 1789, that case, he said that in a Supreme Court's case, and it stands to this day. The jury has a right to determine both law and facts. That's Samuel Chase, U.S. Supreme Court Justice, 1796. One of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. The jury has the power to bring a verdict in the teeth of both law and fact, and that was Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, United States Supreme Court Justice, 1902. So we're on some good grounds and some foundational positions. They have feeble positions. They make a lot of statements, and they don't want us to come in because they right now their crimes are covered up. They're protecting each other's rear ends. And once the people come in, they're in trouble. And I think we're going to see a lot of people leaving the state and leaving the country, just going away once the people come in. And that'll be a good thing. But again, we're not coming in. We bring this point up for all the time. We're not coming in to bring revenge. We're not on a witch hunt. We're good. As long as they obey the law, we're good with them. We don't care what they've done in their past. What we care about is what they do now and in the future. And the people that have been damaged in the past, when they come into the future to bring their cases against these people and say, let me tell you what this judge did to me, now you have an injured party, now you have a complaint, and now you got to indict maybe. Hopefully you'll be able to work out a deal that will restore this individual by the judge or whoever that injured them. Okay, so with that, I'm going to open up the text chat. I see Jesse is up there first. We'll let you go. Let's try to, well, if we can, let us talk a little bit about our concerns for money, what people might think. Can we maybe just do it and people will voluntarily give us 5, 10, or 15 or 20 bucks a month? And again, 5 or 10 bucks is plenty. If everybody does it, 5 or 10 bucks is plenty. How do we want to handle it? How are we going to do that? Obviously, you know, I don't work anymore. I haven't worked for quite some time, so I don't have the money to put this out for these kind of bills, but we're going to go forward in faith that we have this money and we're going to do it anyway, and hopefully the money's going to come behind us and it's going to pay the bills. So, Jesse, go right ahead.
Can anyone hear me now?
Yep, we're getting you, Jesse. Go right ahead. Just keep an eye in the text chat when you're testing your mic. You'll see ones coming up, and as you see ones, then you know you're good. Just keep on going.
Great, the mic thing fixed. I just wanted to let you know that I contacted Westmoreland County's court clerk, and Brian Klein, and he told me that when he dealt with the AOPC, which is the statewide governing body, they kicked it back to his solicitor locally within North, within the county, and that the solicitor made the right conclusion to let them file. But unfortunately, that means that other counties might not get the same results. And I was thinking that maybe we should make a campaign to get the AOPC in Harrisburg to be able to adopt that argument that the solicitor made, so that we won't have as many problems in other counties with solicitors who don't understand the right of the people to have these grand juries.
All right, I appreciate that statement, but let me just make, first of all, you don't want them to codify anything. Once they codify something, you know, they put a code in or some kind of rule that gives you that they're giving you the authority to do that, and you accept that, then they kind of think at some point, well, they also have the authority to take it away. So I would go with them with the ammunition that you have, make your case. We've got papers that we've been writing. If you read all of our press releases, you put it all together, you'll see just an unbelievable mountain of proof that the people have the authority to do this. And so you can refer to the Fifth Amendment. You can refer to many different places, lots of Supreme Court rulings, and we offer all that up there. So you make your argument, work it out in your state, make your argument. Watch what we're doing here in New York, because I think we're kind of paving the road. And also, when we are successful in New York, and we will be successful in New York, when we're successful here, every state's just going to fall like dominoes to this, because if it happens in New York, it happens everywhere. And that could be true from your state, too. If it happens in Pennsylvania, it could be a domino effect to move through. Unfortunately, New York's very arrogant, and they may not look at it so simply, but we will get it through here in New York. And we know you will get it through there in your state. I think you're in Pennsylvania. By the way, we did hear that a grand jury in Pennsylvania, we were away for the week, so we weren't available, myself and Gerard. But we did hear that a grand jury has actually got access into a grand jury room and has come together for a meeting in the room. Do you know anything about that? Is that true? Or anybody else that knows anything about that, maybe they can let us know, because that's huge if that happens, and we'd like to get a good report on that and utilize that here in New York.
I haven't heard anything from any county. Westmoreland is the one that I know filed and have their paperwork, but I haven't heard that they actually got access into the courtroom or the grand jury room yet.
All right. If you have a follow-up question or something, you know, raise your hand and get him back at the line, unless you want to make a final statement in what we're talking about. Otherwise, we'll move to the next person. This way, we'll get other people in, because we've been spending too much time sometimes with people, and then people in the end don't get in. But anything else you want to comment on this yet? And again, if you want, you can raise your hand for another question. Okay, I'll presume you don't. Zoomac, Xoomac, Zoomac, I guess that is. You're next. And let me make a statement here for those who don't know. If someone's in here and doesn't have a mic, or they can't get their mic working, or for some reason doesn't like to talk on their mic, whatever the case may be, and they have a question, you can raise your hand, and you can prepare your question in the text area. But don't put it out into the text area until you are acknowledged on the mic, and then you can put it out there and bring your hand down, and we'll realize you put your question into the text chat, and we'll respond to that. But you do have to let us know that you have a question in the text chat by raising your hand and getting to the top of the room and then placing it there. But Zumak, I think that's how you pronounce that. Go right ahead. You got the mic. Zumak, you got the mic. We don't hear you. Mic is down on the right to the left of raise your hand. Click on press to talk, or click that drop-down box and click on the hold up mic. I forget exactly what it says, but that's where the mic is. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
We are hearing you, but you're coming in very, very low. Go down to your bottom left side, click on microphone, and raise the volume of your microphone to at least 2/3 or 3/4, and try again. You're coming in low.
I have the mic volume up as high as it will go, John.
Okay, you're coming in good enough. We'll get you now, but after the night is over, you're going to want to go over to the help room and ask them to adjust your volume higher. You'll probably have to do that right on your computer volume. It's probably low there, but we're getting you good enough, so go right ahead with your question or comment.
My comment mainly is I wanted to thank you for allowing us in L.A. County to take a successful outing on our first meeting. It was last Saturday, and mainly wanted to thank you because you were on Skype with us, and you and Gerard handled all the questions and pretty much debriefed us on how to get everything going. I noticed Man50D had a question about how do we get grand jurors set up. Well, you pretty much walked us through that, and now we have our four administrators already in place, and looking forward to having our grand jury, hopefully announcements and all those things set up next. So thanks, John.
All right, well, thank you. We appreciate you, the hard work you're putting out there and the organizing that you did in order to make that work and happen. And this is a grassroots movement, and without the people doing what you're doing, we're not going to accomplish it because what you do there is affecting me in my county, Dutchess County, New York, and what happens here is affected by what you're doing there, and vice versa in every county, all 3,141 counties. We the people, only the people can save America, and this is how we're going to do it. We all stand up in our grassroots neighborhood right there in our own counties, and we take the control right there. And by taking control of the judicial process in your county courthouse, the Supreme Court, whatever they call it, Court of Commons, but the place where common law is to be heard, when you take that back and you bring the authority to people back into that court, we just took the entire nation back. So we thank you for doing what you guys are doing. One other thing, you might want to, when you get a chance, step over into the help room. You can wait till the end of the call and get your mic fixed because you came in really low. I had everything up super high and I could barely hear you, but we did get the comments. Next, Don from Oakland. Go right ahead. Don from Oakland, we're not getting you. Press the talk on the left side of your raise hand button there. Don, again, we're not hearing you if you're talking. You have to open your mic. Click push to talk just left to the raise your hand. You have to hold it down. You don't just click it. You have to hold it down. And you need to look up at your name, and you'll see the mic is before your name, and you know that your mic is open. You could do a test, and people will throw ones out there, and you'll see that, and you'll know that you're coming through. Right next to push to talk, you can click the drop down button and you can put hold to talk. You click on that and it'll hold mic. But go ahead, try it again.